Get with it, folks. Welcome to another edition of the EG3 show. Welcome inside the garage area. My name is Eddie Greer III, host of the EG3 show, NASCAR podcast, all about the latest in the world of NASCAR, Xfinity Series, Monster Energy, NASCAR Cup Series, and of course the K-World Truck Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And tonight is the stage break edition of the podcast. We'll get into that momentarily. Also, be bouncing around the NBA Finals has part four. The sequel continues, and got some K-State news as well in the middle of the United States, Kansas, baby. Let's get right on down to business with the stage episode here tonight on the eve of game one of the NBA Finals. But a story that has been kind of been going on since last weekend, of course, Cas Grala with that unbelievable top 10 run at Charlotte. And what a huge boost for him, as he was boosted thrusted right into the middle of a difficult situation. Yes, I mentioned last week on one of the episodes that the 24 operation team of JGL Racing had a good, decent start to the season, but unfortunately had to shut it down due to, I believe, the owner having health issues. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm pretty sure it's health-related issues, and had to shut it down. And what a whirlwind win week last week for Cas Grala. I didn't know he was born USA American. I thought he was from out of the U.S. So before I came on the show, I did some more digging on Cas Grala. He's from Boston, Massachusetts. But we kind of forgotten about Cas Grala and where his rise to the Xfinity Series from. Yes, you know, this is his rookie year, and I didn't know he moved up until the beginning of this year. But of course, let's not forget, Cas Grala won at Daytona in the Truck Series a year ago in that season opening race, stunned the Truck Series folks over there, and actually was pretty doggone consistency. Could have won two races if not for Austin Cindric last year. But Cas Grala, for a guy that has possibly the potential to run at least another year in Xfinity, in the way that he was up front in the top 10 with some of the Xfinity Series records that he's around with, and of course with the Cup guys involved in this, with like McMurray, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski last week, Cas Grala put on a show for a team called Furry Race Cars. That sounds like a video game name to be funny. It's funny for sure. It's funny. Furry Race Cars. That definitely sounds like an organization coming off a video game, a racing video game, or Need for Speed type of name right there. Just for fooling around and stuff like that. But Cas Grala behind the wheel can definitely get it done. And to put in a situation in a 11-day span from, unfortunately, losing your ride until a random race team comes pick you up and then go out there and put on a show, that speaks high volumes of Cas and what he did last week. A tremendous effort. And, you know, sometimes we put those type of runs underneath the bus a little bit and talk about, you know, the Kyle Busch's of the world, Keselowski's. Obviously, we know what Kyle Busch did all last weekend. Easily, though, could have swept all of the stage in wins last week. But, of course, Kyle Busch ran into trouble late in the Xfinity Series race at Charlotte last week. And he finished in the top 10, but he had a race-winning car, as he does usual. And with this package back, this restricted plate track, not restricted plate track, but the restricted plate on package that we saw in the All-Star race and of course saw last year, it is back once again for the next 2 weeks, as I said last week as well, Pocono in Michigan for the Xfinity Series, fellas. And I'm anxious to see what's going to happen this week, especially with the Xfinity Series field. I have not honestly seen the entry lineup for which Cup guys are going to be in the field. Oh, and by the way, I'll record a preview show for the Pocono race weekend tomorrow. And then we got our race weekend above. This has been a short week already. I got my days mixed up. It's always usually we get the Monday off as usual for Memorial Day, and everything kind of gets switched up a little bit. But this week has gone by fast already. We're here Thursday night. We're one day away, of course, from activity on a racetrack, EG3 show, stage break edition here this evening with yours truly, Eddie Griffin III. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Of course, on the eve of the NBA Finals, I'll touch on that here shortly. But yes, Cascarella, as mentioned, 19-year-old man. And, you know, that's, at an age like that, that's got to be hard to know what your next move is. You know, obviously, of course, you got the highly touted class, the Ryan Blaney's, the Chase Elliott's. I've talked about this all year long up until this point, but let's not forget, there's also under-the-radar people as well. Brandon Jones, who's been doing very, very well this year in the Xfinity Series. A change of scenery had to be good for him. Matt Tiff as well. And then you turn around, you got Ross Chastain, who's right in the thick of trying to get into the playoffs. And then you have Cascarella, who's also throw his name into the mix as well, trying to battle for that playoff spot. And would that be something for Cass to switch teams and to make the chase? Obviously, Austin Cindric pulling the Roush Fenway Penske card, running the full schedule pretty much, and he's right there above the cut line in the Xfinity Series race to the playoffs as it begins this weekend, and we're one-thirds full into the NASCAR season. And I mentioned the Coca-Cola 600 started the second half. And a lot of people say the second half starts now. Well, for me, the second half started last week for both the Xfinity and the Cup guys. And the trucks are off until next week. Michigan, a triple header weekend at MIS Raceway. That should be fun up there in the Irish Hills. But yeah, you talk about those guys I just mentioned on the way there. Got to start paying more attention to those guys. You know, we can be at all at what we've seen this year in the Cup Series side. And of course, we know the Chris Bells, the Cole Custers of the world, and even the Ryan Preces. But guys like Cascarella, who put in the work and get efforts like he did last week, that will put you on the map. And he told NASCAR.com earlier this week, he quoted, "I don't know how this is possible, but it was, and it's fantastic." He said it during his post-race with Fox, and then he goes on to say, "Great debut for us. I can't say enough about how hard everyone's worked. I mean, I don't think everyone slept in the last week and a half. I hope they're excited now because I hope this will make their hard work pay off. I'm looking forward to the next three races here. We are going to have a blast." End quote. So, of course, Grala will be with this team for the next three races and hopefully get some more, because he's right there in the thick of trying to make the playoffs. And that's got to be a sick feeling when you don't have the opportunities, have a full schedule like he did at JGL before unfortunate circumstances happened. Like, for Grala to come over to a brand new race team and to put up those results, and oh, by the way, he didn't even have a backup car last weekend. That also puts kind of the pressure on a 19-year-old. You usually bring your A car and your B car to the racetrack. This team only brought its A car, and that was it. You know, that's some modified type stuff right there. You know, you bring your one piece, that's it. That's old school stuff right there. I love that right there about that team right there. They just said, "Hey, we're going to go in here. We're going to put it all out there." And they sure as hell did at Charlotte. And at one point or another, he was 7th or 8th. He got the highest that he got. But certainly enough, Cascarella, unbelievable job. And hopefully, with the package that we're about to unravel once again, we all know what this is going to do by now. We're two races in, combining the Cup in the All-Star race and last year in the Xfinity Series race at Indy. You know, the leader is not going to be that far out. Pocono, you know, these races get so freaking strung out that it can put you to sleep sometimes, especially if a car it's really hooked up with all three turns of that racetrack. No turn four, hashtag no turn four. So this package now with the Xfinity Series, I expect this to be a whole lot of bonsai moves, especially with long ass straightaways and such. And you gotta unload at least in the ballpark, and I think we're gonna see a lot of battling on the racetrack Saturday in the Xfinity Series. And oh, by the way, FS1 has the Xfinity Series and I believe the Cup Series race as well. More details on the preview weekend tomorrow when I get that hashed out as well. But definitely sure, the 61 team of Fury Race Cars, the organization, I'm not kidding, Fury Race Cars gets the job done. And now they have a little momentum. It'll be interesting to see what this does for also the unfunded teams. I talk about all the time on the show, the Rashida plates bring an equal playing field on Talladega and Daytona, equal chance to win. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, oh man, Pocono, anybody can win this race. You know, you still get the same kind of thing, but this will close up the pack a little bit and it'll give those teams an opportunity, like we saw AJ Allmendinger in the All-Star race, the chance to show out pretty much. And that's what Cass Grolley did in the 2018 package. But this is the one, the NASCAR wants to feature this a little bit more, putting the plates on and doing what they want to do and trying to make the race better, action better. And we'll probably end up going, hopefully going to see that even more. But I just want to talk about that a little bit tonight with you guys. Cass Grolley putting up a top 10 performance there, and I'm going to go ahead and look where he finished again. But yes, definitely, if you have a team like that, that's just a lot of pressure on a young guy like that to go out there and knowing that you cannot pretty much race this wreck, this race car, speaks a lot of talent that Cass has. And Cass Grolley at the Isles Coast 300 finished in the 10th position over some good cars like the Chase Briscoe, Michael Annette, Brandon Jones, Austin Cindric, those boys, Chastain, Ryan Reed, Justin Allgaier, to name pretty much almost the Xfinity notables that I just reeled off there. So that right there could get some more eyes looked at you right there. So Cass Grolley, big time, and we'll see what that 61 car does this weekend at Pocono. EG3 show rolls on. Eddie Gritter third tonight. Your stage weekly break. And now we're changing lanes to the NBA Finals. And the NBA Finals, this got a lot of negative comments, at least when I looked on my Facebook feed. And a little on the Twitter side as well. Most definitely on the Facebook side of it, for I don't know why, I'm kind of confused. But again, you know, there's comments about parody and all this other stuff that's going in NBA. And yes, I don't pay attention to NBA regular season that much, unless it's a marquee matchup on holiday weekend or something like that. But the Cavaliers, the Warriors, again, you know, they got Kevin Durant to beat Cleveland. That was proven last year in the finals, and now Warriors will look to go back-to-back to win championship title number 3 in the last 4 years against the same team. And once again, LeBron James in another finals. And this was also brought up as well on Twitter via Undisputed. The record, 3-6 for LeBron James, and of course Jordan went undefeated. So, but everyone has this conversation about Michael Jordan and LeBron James, you know, all this and dispute about who's the best every single year. We hear this conversation every year, and people want to bring up the fact that either LeBron's better or MJ's better. Look, I'm on the fence that I've watched a lot of Michael Jordan back in my time as well. And I was born in that area, seeing Michael Jordan do his thing with the Bulls. And I'm on Team MJ myself, but I'm not going to sit here and make a big deal about it. But LeBron James, he's a highlight machine. He's a highlight reel to obviously, to happen. Each and every night he goes on the floor, we've seen game-winning moments from him. We've seen the one-man circus show, LeBron James, carry that team. And earlier, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that this was the worst cast that he's had. Well, I also corrected myself last week that this would be the second worst cast, supporting cast he's had with the Cavaliers. You know, going back to when he first ever made the big stage, that he had Larry Hughes and Mo Williams and a few other casts back when. But now, you know, there's no Kyrie on this team. So there's that. You got Rodney Hood. You have Jeff Green, who's making it to his first finals. Kevin Love's back, but I believe he's... I have not checked my Twitter all day, so I don't know the status on him. The last time I checked, he was still in concussion protocol. So if he's out, then that's a tall, tall order for the Cavs to go in a hostile environment, go into the state, one of the loudest, probably the rowdiest crowd in the business, to go in there and try to take one of these two games. That's what they have. And obviously, we've seen this movie before. This is another chapter added to this rivalry. And I thought about this year's kind of rivalry with on-track rivalry between Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. You know, these two racking up the stage points, winning these races, 9 of the 13 races. That's literally 2/3 of the NASCAR season going into this weekend. And, you know, Kevin Harvick, obviously, you know, for two of those came off of Kevin Harvick's miscues. You know, miscue at Fontana, beginning into it with Larson, cost him an opportunity and probably went 4 in a row there, even though Truex was the man out there. And then last week, Kevin Harvick from shotgun position all the way to the top 5, and then had a tire issue. And Jeff Gordon, and I mentioned this on the post race earlier this week, if you have not checked that out, I encourage you to do that. Post race reaction from Charlotte earlier this week, back on Monday night, check that out if you have not done that already. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, what if Kevin Harvick was in that race? We're going to put on a show, what all these hypotheses of things. And Kevin Harvick, he was going to go up there, but he's going to touch Kyle Busch? We don't know the answer to that question. It's hard. We can make all these predictions and all the other stuff. But these two, you know, can really relate to, you know, at least from a performance perspective, because we've seen Harvick and Kyle Busch in the Championship 4 races year in, year out. Of course, Harvick missed it a couple years ago, and then Kyle Busch. I don't think Kyle Busch has missed the Final Four, in my opinion. I don't think he has. Maybe, I'm not sure, maybe the first year he might have missed. I have to go back and do my research on that, but to me, I don't think he's missed the Final Four. To me, that, you know, the last 4 years, Cavaliers, Steph Curry, and the Warriors have battled, of course, two of those years without Kevin Durant on the other side of the floor. But when you look at Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch swept all the stages and won the race in Kyle Busch dominating fashion. The Kyle Busch 600, the Rowdy 600, to make history, to conquer all the racetracks, getting past Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Harvick to do so. So that was obviously the impressive feat as well going into this race right here, where Kyle Busch, well, obviously we document he's already won at everything, all the racetracks, the Cavaliers, Warriors, again at it. And we've seen a lot of battles with Harvick and Busch, especially at Texas already this year. And we can't rule out the fact that I mentioned this in the post-race pod as well. These two lock at the point that they're at right now. They keep this pace, a ridiculous pace. We could probably see two spots locked up. Now, saying that, for me, we got a lot of racing to go and a lot can happen. As Kyle Busch, non-playoff style, a few years ago, he won some 8 races, and then in the playoffs started, when it was the chase, I believe, he had all kind of issues, and that really killed his momentum, and he was pissed, obviously. The the way that Kyle Busch knows how to be pissed off. So, you know, this would be incredible if we could continue to see these individuals continue to battle back and forth and win these races. But, again, saying that, somebody's got to step to the plate and be clutch. And Pocono could be one of those races this weekend that we could see that. Ryan Blaney, last year, knocking off Kevin Harvick, holding him off. What one of the best finishes probably of the year last year between Blaney, one-on-one against Kevin Harvick, doing the battle. And Blaney won that race with no radio last year. So Blaney, he's in that discussion. As some of these guys got to start stepping up and doing something about it. Denny Hamlin, who owned this racetrack back in the day when he was coming up as a rookie, he's kind of lost touch a little bit, but he still knows how to get around that place. Brad Keselowski, there's something on him. Kyle Larson also, and a few others. I keep on referring back to this list that drivers have not won. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick continue to take away stage points in winning these races as well. So again, the battle continues between these two drivers this weekend, and we'll see who has the upper hand. But let's not forget about Truex in there as well. He's been right there, except for a bad month of April. He's been there with them jokers. So don't count him out. Joey Logano looking to add that extra step, pep in the step. He's been consistent all year long. So let's see who can step up to the plate. And that's the same thing for Cavaliers. Can somebody else other than LeBron James, we know what we're going to get from him, is somebody else going to step up and do the charge? You know, Kyle Korver from the Atlanta Hawks, and you have G.R. Smith over there still doing it as well. And then you had a couple other pieces like the Jeff Greens, the Rodney Hoods. There was another person in that mix that came over from the Lakers, Jordan Clarkson, Jose Calderon, Tristan Thompson has been the beast over there, Larry Nance. you talk about these names I'm naming off, except for Thompson, J.R. Smith, and Kevin Love. The others, Kyle Korver was there last year, and he came up small in one of the games last year, had a wide open three and missed it, that probably would have changed the complexion of the series. So, again, who else other than LeBron James can help him out a little bit and score the basketball? That's going to be the key in this series. If Cleveland's going to have a shot here to knock off the Warriors and return the favor on the Warriors, their basketball rival, they're going to have somebody other than LeBron. If definitely Kevin Love can't go in this game, they're going to have some scoring from somebody else. They can't lean on, throw the King Kong on LeBron James. And we know we're going to get from him 35-some points a night, 40-plus a night, things like that, triple-double, this and that, everything else. But when it's said and done, you know, everybody's going to be looking at the record. You know, LeBron has lost 6 finals. So, you know, you lose this one, you're 3-7 in the finals. So, but you still have your championship and all that, but, you know, it all goes back to, you know, MJ, you know, did not face a superior team and all this other stuff like that. But he did face some competition, though. Let's not face it. There were no super teams back in the day. I'll put that straight up. You know, all this, you know, oh, I need to win a championship and all this other stuff. Let's join this team right here. So, you know, again, you know, the Warriors, they have their cast of stars, obviously, are led by Steph Curry. And again, they're Steph Curry, the Warriors, overcoming a 3-2 deficit again, this time in the hands of the number one seed, the Houston Rockets. And I'm not going to want to start on the Houston Rockets tonight. How do you miss 27 three-point shots and still lose? You had a double-digit lead, and everybody's saying around the NBA world that, why don't you just drive to the paint, get in the paint a little bit, shoot some twos, shoot some mid-range jump shots, and everything else. But no, we want to jack up threes and hope they all get in. Turns out, you know, they had a double-digit lead in both Game 6 and Game 7 and lost it in the third quarter. Where either that or they didn't have enough depth. I mean, you cannot win a championship with some 7 freaking guys. Even I know that. I don't pay attention to the NBA that much, except for the playoffs. And I know if I had some talented guys on my bench, I want to rotate. At least Golden State does that. I mean, that's why they're so, well, obviously they're good, but that's why they've been in this position the Warriors have, because it's not all about one guy. They have multiple guys that can hurt you every night. And that's what I'm going back to. What I'm saying about Cleveland is we all know LeBron James is going to do, even before he goes steps on the court. You have to have help somewhere in the bank, in the bread basket, that, you know, the spaghetti ain't going to eat it by itself. You got to have something with it and something good to drink with it and some dessert. You gotta have the full course meal, man. I just came up with that. That was cool. But you gotta have the full course meal right there. You can't just have it by itself. Maybe some days, but every day or in this series, you gotta have the full course meal. LeBron James is gonna have to have that if Cleveland's gonna even have a shot to, not even for the series, not even focus on the whole series, but to go into Golden State Oracle Arena in that House of Hornets. And to go in there and get one of those two games. That's what it's going to take. And I'm just going to stand by it. Somebody else other than LeBron James is going to have to step up and hit it out of the park and score with the basketball. Or either that, play some defense. Something around that part. If they can get that, they can make this a hell of a series. And they can make this another thrilling chapter in the Cleveland Cavaliers, Golden State Warriors rivalry that is continuing to go on, and a lot of people get pissed off because, you know, the Perry and all this other stuff. Well, you can blame Houston for one, and on the other end, you can blame multiple teams on the Eastern Conference side of the thing. Indiana had them and couldn't finish the deal. Toronto, everyone picked Toronto to get the job done. Toronto choked, and then there was another team, and Boston. Okay, duh. Boston, who gave it all on the line. Jason Tatum had a hell of a series. And at the end of Game 7, they ran out of gas and they were bricking a lot of shots at that. So it kind of carried over to the Houston Rockets and they bricked everything pretty much. So, again, it's got to be a team thing. You cannot, as much as you want to win, hop on LeBron James a bandwagon here. You gotta have your share of the whole deal, and that's gonna be interesting to see in this series. There's no second score that you can threaten the Warriors with, in my opinion. So it goes back to the whole team oriented thing. Cleveland's gonna have a chance to regain their throne. They're gonna have to come up with something in the lottery ticket or something. So definitely game one tonight, Cleveland Golden State part 4. The saga continues, folks, and we'll see what happens in game one here tonight. I'm recording this a couple hours out, just 2 hours away from game one of that series. And of course, before I wrap up this episode tonight, thanks for tuning in to the EG3 show. I talked Kaz Grala earlier, just wrapped up the NBA Finals preview, and I'm going to talk some K-State a little bit for a couple of minutes before signing off for tonight. And of course, I'll record a preview of Pocono on track, the Tricky Triangle, back in session tomorrow afternoon. After pretty much, it's going to be after qualifying, that's my target for tomorrow's recording. But as for the stage break, K-State re-signed Bruce Weber and Gene Taylor, the athletic director for K-State, my alma mater. I don't know for how long. I have not, you know, read all the details yet on it. But Bruce Weber, of course, with that magnificent run that honestly I didn't see coming, gets a contract extension and also gets its star superstar back in Barry Brown, who also worked out with the Lakers and Nets and just try to see where he was at for the NBA style. And Barry Brown is probably his plan all along, but he just wanted to test the waters and see that. But this squad, this K-State squad, I know they're going to lose, you know, a couple of bench players and, you know, Ahmad Wainwright and a couple, maybe one other person, but they got a transfer in. Again, I don't know all the details right now, obviously, but look at all the five starters. Sneed, who had a big tournament. Dean Wade, who was injured in that tournament. I won't say in that tournament, before the tournament started. Mike McCall, May Ween, and you have Stokes, Jada, Carde Jada, and Barry Brown. And you're adding a couple of transfers with it. And you're adding, you're getting back Mike McGurl, obviously. And a couple other those boys. You know, K-State, you know, Bill Self said a couple weeks ago or something, like, you know, K-State, they're a favorite, whatnot, you know. The old saying in the Big 12, for those of you who don't know the Big 12 basketball concerns, KU is a team to beat each and freaking year that they go on the court. But I look at this K-State team already, you know. There's also thoughts that Dean Wade was going to go as well. If he didn't get injured, he might have tested the waters a little bit also. So, but to have a plethora of weapons back, pretty much to all the starting five, pretty much, back on this team, and then you got your bench players back as well, and you're adding a couple transfers with it. K-State, they can build off this momentum going off season, get themselves right. And Bruce Weber, this team, they can go places next year. Let's just put it like that. I did not see the run coming at all. It's all about playing well at the right time, getting hot at the right time, and doing what you got to do. And that's what K-State did, knocking off Kentucky. A huge win that was. And so this team can go some. This team is going to be obviously a top 25 team. That's for sure. I mean, we don't know, you know, what's going to happen with the Big 12 with KU. Then this is way out of my box. But K-State men's basketball, top 25 team right now. Top 25. This is probably really not even top 25. I'm going to say top 15. In my opinion, you got everybody back and you get everybody healthy. That's the important part. K-State can do some damage next year, and looking forward to see what they do as they get their off-season workouts going later on this summer. But yes, again, going back to the racing side of it, you know, talking about Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick to this point, you know, we got the playoffs here. We'll start to creep up here as the summer gets underway here. But again, it's all about hitting your stride at the right time, and again, who's going to step up to the plate this weekend and show some muscle? The Chevys did what they needed to do last week. You know, I said it, you know, I'm not going to be on board yet. I want to see some consistency from the Chevrolets. Jimmy Johnson, for one, you know, had that awesome run last week. It was awfully racy. The best race to this point for Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy McMurray had its best race, even though he had a top 10 run back at Texas early this year. Jimmy McMurray came from a lap down, essentially sticking with his plan to run the high side to get himself a top 10 finish. So we're not talking consistently about Kyle Larson. And then let's not forget about Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman has put down some quietly impressive runs here. So again, I'm not on board yet, but the Chevys, was that the week for the Chevy turnaround? We're going to find that out here, beginning here in Pocono, and we're going to see down the line if they can carry that momentum here. Again, it's all about hitting your stride at the right time. Who will step up to the plate and run with the big dogs, the big horses, the 18 and the 4, EG3Show, facebook.com/EG3Show. Check it out right there. I'll get you updated on that this evening, as well as we move into race weekend. Of course, Podcast Center, you can catch the EG3 Show on pretty much almost all of them except a couple of them, but Audio Boom, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, you can find us there as well. iTunes, get on the EG3 Nation, EG3 Show, follow us, rate, and review as well if you have time. And we did not get, again, continue to say this because I get into this episodes way too easily, but I promise you tomorrow I have a question ready from one of our fans. If you have a question, Twitter at me, at my Twitter, inbox me, though, at ed_eg3 for the latest there. If you have a question, and you can message me there or on the page, and we'll get it updated tonight as well as we approach Pocono Race Weekend. But yes, folks, Cass Gralla, continue to keep your eyes on him as we move in, get cars on the track here this weekend. Folks, and oh, before I forget, yes, EG3 show. What is my motto for the EG3 show? Yep, join the movement, folks. Join the movement, EG3 show. And I got a couple of shout-outs here. The Right Sides podcast followed me last week. And, of course, I listened to this week the Lap Traffic podcast as well. And I got something for you. And a little bit of a challenge here from me to Brandon, host of the Lap Track podcast. I'm going to hop on his website tonight, and I'm going to join in on this fun here of the fantasy. So definitely, I'm about to make my presence known, Brandon. So get ready for that. I'm excited to check more inside of that, and of course, the Loose Lug Nuts podcast as well, along with the PETM podcast. As well, check those out along with the EG3 show. Folks, that's going to do it for the EG3 show tonight, stage edition of the podcast. Remember, tomorrow I will record tomorrow the preview weekend for Pocono and talk a bit more about the finals and who took game one as well. But now we're closing up shop for right now. EG3 show, Eddie Greer saying thank you once again for tuning in to tonight's stage edition of the podcast. And we will talk to you on the race preview show coming up tomorrow. But for now, garage is closed. Eddie Greer III saying thank you for listening to the EG3 show. We'll see you on turn 3. We out.